Amen. I appreciate that special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. Got a little bit of a sore throat this morning, so I put a cough drop in. I'm hoping I don't accidentally cough it out and it land on somebody in the splash zone. That's why you sit back there, right? I've always thought that'd be an awful thing to cough and have a cough drop come out and stick to somebody's forehead. It would be my teeth. I do have my own teeth so far, so. Those do tend to come out at the worst times, don't they? So Ephesians chapter 6, we've been studying in the book of Ephesians for several months, and today, Lord willing, we will finish our study in the book of Ephesians. It's been a great study, and I hope it's been a blessing to you as it has to me. To learn about this letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, was circulated to the Lord's churches, and applies directly to the Lord's churches today. And we've been learning the last couple of weeks about the whole armor of God, the panoply, as it is. It's one word that is whole armor. It means all of it. And it's the Lord's armor. It's not our armor. It's not our strength. It's not our abilities. It's not something that we muster up. These are things that we depend on the Lord to give us. And so we're going to go back and pick up at verse 10 and read through the end of the chapter, the end of the letter this morning. And we're going to focus in on verses 18 through 24 as we study this morning. Let's stand together if you're able. I am so thankful to be in God's house today. We do have a lot to pray for. A lot of folks are out of town and not feeling well. I want to say thank you to our Sunday school teachers and those that were willing and able to fill in this morning. We had to go to our backups today. And I'm so thankful to be part of a church that there are so many that we can call on that can step in and fill in and teach the Word of God because they know the Word of God. And it's just a great blessing. So I'm glad you're here today. We do want to pray for those that aren't able to be here. But let's read Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye may also that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ, in sincerity, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for this study we've been able to have in the book of Ephesians. I pray, dear Lord, that we can learn what a real church is and how a real church is to operate. Lord, help us to rejoice in the blessings you give us in Christ and help those blessings motivate us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have called us. Lord, help us to walk in the Spirit, to walk in love, and just to live a life that would please you. Forgive us when we fail, when we sin, and help us, Lord, to get up again and live for you. I pray, Lord, you convict our hearts and open our eyes to realize the battle that we face each day. that we are in a great war, wrestling against the principalities and powers of darkness. And Lord, help us to stand. Help us to put on the whole armor of God day by day. And help us to be men and women of prayer and men and women who strive together for the faith of the gospel. Forgive our sins now. Help us, Lord, open our hearts and minds to understand and live out your word. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. A little bit of a long reading this morning, but just want to remind you where we're at. In verse 10, he gives the final challenge to the church, and he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, so that ye might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I want to remind you one last time that this passage of Scripture is not some little kiddie thing that's only for little color sheets in the Sunday school class, and it's not important, or it's not a big deal. It's not just a little children's story. But this is a real challenge from the Word of God for a real warfare that you are in today. That this is serious business. And I want you to know that the devil has wiles. He is wily. He has strategies. He has a stratagem to take you down. And the devil isn't playing around with you. People want to play around with sin. They want to dabble in sin. They want to play around in the world. But the devil's not playing, friend. He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy this church. He hates you with a passion that you may not understand. He wants to have you down in the dirt, bleeding, and he wants to have you bloodied and dirty on the ground with his foot on your throat where you can't do anything for the cause of Christ. And I'm here to tell you today that it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to give in to temptation. You can stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be victorious in the battles you face day by day, but you can only do that when you put on the whole armor of God. He tells us about that whole armor. He tells us that we can stand. He tells us that the devil has these stratagems, these wiles to get us, and he warns us that this is a serious battle. We saw last week, if you look again at verse 14, to stand having our loins girt about with truth, be surrounded by the truth. It's what holds everything together. It's what holds everything up. We have to put on the breastplate of righteousness. By doing right, it protects our heart that we can live for Christ faithfully. We talked about being prepared with the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and we ought to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lieth in us with meekness and fear. We're to be ready to tell others about Christ and what he's done, ready to go and take the gospel to others. And I told you the last couple of weeks that the Roman soldier, his back was very vulnerable. His protection was on the front because the Roman soldier was expected to continue marching into battle. He wasn't to turn around and run away. And the Christian soldier is not commanded to turn around and run. The Christian soldier is not commanded to hide and wait till Jesus comes, but we are commanded to march into battle day after day. We move forward for the gospel's sake, taking the gospel to others. We have our shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And we have the helmet of salvation that we know that we're saved. And we have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, that we can pierce into the hearts of others that they might repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sounds pretty good to me. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but this, when you start studying this stuff, it makes me want to go. I'm ready to go into battle. I'm ready to put on the armor. I'm ready to march. I'm ready to march against the gates of hell. They can't prevail against the Lord's church. I'm ready to go and take the gospel to this lost and dying world. I'm just chomping at the bit to find somebody out there that says, well, I don't believe in God. You take that sword of the Spirit and you wield it skillfully to pierce into that nonsense and show them the truth of the gospel. He says, take the helmet of salvation in verse 17 and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then we come to verse 18 where we want to study today. And we learn about the soldier's power. I want to tell you this. I didn't serve in the military. I thank God for the ones in this room who did serve in the military. We just had Veterans Day a couple of weeks ago, and I thank God for our veterans. By the way, when you see a veteran, you ought to tell them, thank you. I saw a man the other day with a veteran's hat on. I said, "Thank you, sir, for your service." And he said, "It was my honor." It's a good attitude, isn't it? And he had the right spirit about it. He was grateful that I was grateful, and he was grateful that he got to serve. What a great, great attitude. They tell me that in the military, that when you consider all the things that they had to go through, I think a lot, all battles are awful, but I've done more study probably on World War II than most of the other wars that we've been in. And you think about those guys, they tell me that there are no atheists in a foxhole. Amen. Brother Richard says amen. There are guys who are tough and rough and gruff, but when you're in the foxhole and the bombs are blowing up all around you, all of a sudden you begin to reevaluate things. And I want to tell you today that in that moment, when you're in the heat of the battle, I would think, and I don't know, I haven't been there, but I'm going to think that prayer would be a priority in that moment. Amen. When you realize that you're in the heat of battle, when you realize everything that's at stake, then prayer becomes very vital. And as the Apostle Paul, writing to the church, he finishes with all of the armament that the soldier has. He comes to verse 18 and says, "Praying always." You see, if a soldier's smart, he understands that his life is in danger, and if he's going to go into battle, he better have God on his side. And you might realize today that you are in a battle, that you're in a warfare. I hope you realize that your life, your testimony is at stake. The spiritual well-being of your family is at stake. The spiritual life of the church is at stake. And you realize what's on the line, then you want to go into battle day by day with prayer. We can't do this on our own. He said, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." We don't want to go alone, so we better be praying, not sometimes, not when things get really, really bad, but we ought to be praying always. Be praying always. You know, prayer ought to be the constant reality in our heart and mind. See, praying, some people say, "I don't know how to pray." Praying is this: you direct your thoughts and the intents of your heart, you direct those things to God. Some of you like to debate things with yourself. Sometimes I see people and they just have a blank stare and you think there's nothing going on, but really they're having this inner dialogue with themselves. I think that's called a monologue, but when you talk to yourself, that means you've got another person there or something. And you got this going on. Well, what you want to do is stop talking to yourself about things and talk to God. He can actually get something done. You can mull those things over in your mind all you want to, but until you get God on your side, you're not going to accomplish much. And so every thought and intent and the feelings of our heart, we direct that towards God. And we do it always. We spend time in prayer, yes. We ought to have a time and a place that we get alone with God every day. And maybe there ought to be a place in your house where you can get alone. And for those of you with small children, that's not so easy, but you got to do it. You got to have a time and a place you get alone with God and spend time praying to God. But then it ought to be a constant in our hearts and minds all day. We pray always. This is where the soldier gets his power. This is where the strength of the Lord comes from the Word of God and through praying to God, and the Spirit empowers us. Now he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Now prayer is just general. Prayer is public praying and private praying. It's praying for things. It's praying for others. It's a lot of different things. Prayer is a very general term. It's just our hearts being focused on God. It's talking to God. Supplication is something more specific. When you are supplicating towards God, you're praying about something very specific, a specific need, a specific desire, a specific trouble or trial that you're going through. And so prayer is general, supplication is specific, and he says, "I want you to pray all the time, generally for everything, and I want you to pray all the time specifically with supplication for things, and I want you to pray in the Spirit." In the Spirit. I've met some people who don't believe in God because they prayed one time and God didn't answer their prayer. Well, if they'd have bothered to study their Bible, they would have found out that God gives some prerequisites to answered prayer. Did you know that? Did you know that if you pray without faith, God's not going to answer your prayer? So for the person who says, "I don't believe in God because I prayed and He didn't answer my prayer," that's not surprising. You don't believe in God, why would you expect God to answer your prayer? God wants us to pray with a forgiveness in our own heart. If we don't forgive others, then God's not going to forgive us. Husbands and wives, the Lord warns us that if our relationship isn't right between a husband and a wife, that it will hinder our prayers. Jesus tells us to pray in His name. You know, there's a reason we end our prayers around here in Jesus' name. It's not just because that's what grandpa did or grandma did or what's always been done. It's because that's what Jesus said to do. He said, you haven't asked anything in my name. Now ask in my name and you'll receive it. So we pray in Jesus' name. It's not just something we do. We do that because it's what He said to do. And so there are a lot of reasons why our prayers might not be answered. And one of the main reasons our prayers might not be answered is because many times we don't pray in the Spirit, we pray in the flesh. Some people treat going to God in prayer like going through the drive-thru. We go up to the window, we make our order, and we expect it to be there in the next 10 seconds by the time we get to the second window. Right? And then we spend the rest of the day griping because He didn't get our order right. And a lot of people treat their prayer life exactly like that. I want to help you out today, friends. Going to God in prayer is not like going to McDonald's. We're not there to place our order and expect God to have it and get it exactly the way we want it in 30 seconds. That's not the way it works. We need to remember today, friends, that we are dust. And the only reason we have life is because God has given life. And we have no reason to expect anything from God except what He has promised. We pray in the Spirit, we don't pray in the flesh. We don't pray to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We have not because we ask not, but we ask and receive not because we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lusts. And so when we pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? It means that our heart is right with God, that we're seeking the things of God. And when Jesus taught His children to pray, His disciples to pray, He said, you pray like this. We pray for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's the example that He gave, not my will, but Thy will be done. If we want to pray in the Spirit, we've got to be praying for God's will to be done. We've got to be praying not for the desires of our flesh, not for the lust of the flesh. We pray for the things of the Spirit. We set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And most of the time when people pray, they're praying for things, not praying for the kingdom of God, not praying for His righteousness. Listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's not about the physical things that we need for this battle. It's about spiritual things that we need. Amen. Maybe what we ought to be praying for is the things that He's already told us. We ought to be praying for truth. We ought to be praying for righteousness. We ought to be praying for the gospel. We ought to be praying for faith. We ought to be praying for to be skilled in the Word of God and to know of our salvation and to be skilled in showing others the way of salvation. We live this life in the flesh. But we don't live for the flesh. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then He says, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I love this word watching, and it seems really appropriate about now. This word watching, it means not asleep. A few minutes into the sermon, it seems to be appropriate. Watching means not asleep. The Roman soldier, and even in our own military many years ago, it's not this way today, but a soldier who was posted on guard was to stay awake and to watch. And if that soldier, that Roman soldier, was tasked with watching, he was guarding and protecting everyone else's life while they slept. If he fell asleep and was caught sleeping on duty, they would take his life. He would be executed. Why? Because if he was sleeping, the enemy could come and take everyone else's life. By him being derelict in his duty, he was guilty of death. Man, aren't you glad it's not like that for us today? Our God is so gracious. But I want to tell you today, dear friends, it is high time that we awake out of sleep. Our salvation is nearer than it was before. Our days are limited. We don't have much time left. And I mean, you're going to die very, very soon. That's encouraging, isn't it? Listen, I'm just telling you today, I don't care Whether you're 80 years old or you're 20 years old or you're even younger, our time on earth is but a vapor. We need to understand that our days move like the weaver's shuttle. It's flying back and forth. Our days are just gone before you know it. And our time on earth is limited. We don't have much time, and it's time to wake up and go to war for Jesus. He says you need to be watching in prayer. Don't be asleep at the job. And I want to tell you that we need to be faithful and pray with perseverance, he says, and supplication for all saints. Watching. Don't be asleep. And have perseverance. This word perseverance means perseverance. Sometimes they just mean what they say. I thought it was really interesting that watching meant not sleeping. I think it's just as important that perseverance means perseverance. It means don't quit. Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Some of you pray and God doesn't answer when you want Him to or the way you want Him to, so you quit praying. Don't quit praying. Keep persevering. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And God answers prayer because of our importunity. That means that we don't quit. We just keep on asking and keep on asking and keep on asking. And some of you got lost family members and you pray sometimes, but He says, I want you to keep on praying for them to be saved. Some of you having trouble in your family and you pray occasionally, but He says, I don't want you to pray occasionally. I want you to pray constantly and persevere in prayer. Don't quit praying. And I want to tell you something, friends. You think something's hard? Praying is hard. If you pray biblically, with faith, fervently, if you pray the right way, it's a hard thing to do. There's a reason when Jesus prayed in the garden that He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He was passionate. He was fervent. He was serious. He was warring with Satan while He was praying. And so we've got to pray with perseverance. Don't quit. And there it is again, supplication specifically for all saints. Friends, we've got to pray for one another. I've heard so many lately that have been going through so much. We've got people in and out of the hospital and people sick and stomach flu and financial trouble. And I'm telling you right now in our church, there's a lot of trials going on in people's lives. We've got elderly that can't even make it out of their front door. We've just got so much going on, and people are struggling. And I've had more than one tell me lately, I can feel the prayers. You know what that means? They know that this church is praying for them. And I can promise you, when you're in the middle of a trial and you know the church is praying for you, it is a blessing. It is strengthening. But we don't need to just pray for all the saints in our church. We need to pray for all the saints around the world. You may be going through a difficult time right now, but there are places in the world right now that people are literally being tortured and murdered because they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Families are being thrown into prison. Families are being burned alive. Families are being tortured. Families are going through unimaginable things for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, we can't forget about them because we've got it easy. We need to pray for them. Pray for all the saints, those here, and those around our country, and those around the world, those who are preaching the gospel, and those who have gotten away from the Lord and to be brought back into service of God. We need to pray for everyone specifically. That's that supplication. In verse 19, Paul makes a specific supplication request for himself. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, that I may make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So verses 19 and 20, he gets down to a very specific prayer request. And he says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. Paul says, pray for me that I can open my mouth and give the word of God. That's what this word utterance is. It's logos. It's the word. He says, I want to be able to proclaim the word of God. And I want to tell you, I have seen God answer that prayer right here in our own church. You know what happens on, On Saturdays, we get together, we have a time of prayer, and we go out and knock on doors, and we pray, God, open the door for the gospel. Lord, open opportunities for us to preach. And you know what God does? He'll send us to somebody's house who's ready to hear the gospel, and He gives us utterance. He allows us to open our mouths and give people the word of God. Do you understand how precious that is? Friend, we need to pray for this, because we need God to give us utterance. We need God to speak through us. We need God to help us so we can open our mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He says that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Why? Because I'm an ambassador. Listen, Paul was in prison, but he was still an ambassador for Christ. And he said, pray for me that I can open my mouth and boldly proclaim the gospel. Friend, I desperately need boldness from God. I've seen and heard a lot of people share the gospel. Try to talk to kids at church camp or out knocking doors, and I've seen people and listened to people. I watch videos online of people sharing the gospel. And I want you to understand why we need some boldness. I've heard people preach the gospel to other people, and I've been guilty of it myself, in a way that's almost apologetic. Like, I'm really sorry that I'm bothering you with this, and I'm really sorry, and maybe you don't want to hear it, and just kind of, I don't know, mealy-mouthed about it. Do you want to know why we need boldness? Because this is everything. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If people don't hear the word, they don't have that utterance, then they can't hear the gospel. And if they never hear the gospel, they can't believe the gospel. And if they don't believe the gospel, they can't call on the Lord. And if they don't call on the Lord, they can't be saved. Amen. You guys with me? So if they're going to get saved, we got to rewind all the way back to this. We have to give them the gospel, and we can't be apologetic for it, and we can't be mealy-mouthed about it. We need to boldly proclaim the gospel. We got to warn people that they're in danger of everlasting destruction. Friends, it's serious, and we ought not be apologetic for it. We ought to be bold in our witness. I mean, you'd imagine if your house is on fire tonight, in the middle of the night, you're asleep, and your house is burning. And somebody drives by your house and sees your house on fire, and they come up to the door and they go, hey, I'm really sorry to bother you. I don't want to disturb you, but, you know, your house is burning down. And I know this is probably not a good time for you, but if you don't get out of your house right now, you're going to die. But that's ridiculous, is it not? No, if somebody's house is on fire, you're going to go up to the door and you're going to bang on it and say, hey, wake up, your house is on fire. Get your kids out of the bed, get them out of the house, you're all going to die. Wouldn't you have some boldness? I mean, some of you would never yell, you never get loud, you never do anything like that or beat on somebody's door in the middle of the night, but if they're about to die, you'll do anything to get them out. Friend, this is the seriousness that we have. We're talking about eternal damnation. We're talking about people dying and going to hell. And he says, pray for me that I can have a word. Pray for me that I can have boldness so I can speak as I ought to speak. And you say, well, they're atheists. They don't believe. Man, I can't even begin to understand this. We were in a neighborhood several months ago, and somebody was very kind to us, trying to help us. Oh, well, we go to church and we're good. You don't want to go over there, though. Those people don't believe in God. I said, I don't think you understand what we're trying to do. That's exactly where we want to go. We're not here to tell other believers that they need to believe. And if you would say, as someone who proclaims to be a believer, don't go over there, they're atheists, I'm not sure you're saved. No, we need to have some boldness to go where we need to go and say what we need to say. To have a compassion for the lost. Spurgeon said, if you have no desire to see others saved, you're not saved yourself. Be sure of that. He says, pray for me that I can have boldness. I'm an ambassador I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I represent His kingdom, and pray for me that I can have boldness to speak as I ought to speak. Well, they might be atheists. They may not believe. That's exactly who needs to hear the gospel. Well, they believe different than we do. We don't want to bother them. They already go to church. Hey, let me help you out. There are a lot of people who go to church in this town who are not going to heaven. There may be some people in this church who go to church and aren't going to heaven. See, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I'm telling you that people need to hear the true gospel. There are people in this church right now today. If you ask them, if God said to you, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? There are people in this room right now who wouldn't get the answer right. They'll say, well, I'm a good person and I go to church and all the other nonsense that everybody else in town says. No, if you're going to go to heaven, it's because you've repented of your sins and trusted in Christ alone. Well, I go to church. I'm a good person. I've been baptized. Some people have been saved 10 times and baptized 4 times. I'm telling you, all the answers are out there. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher. Well, good he do. That's wonderful. But have you repented and trusted Christ? I'm just trying to tell you today, we make excuses. Well, they already go to church, or they go somewhere else, or they're atheists, or whatever. Friend, I'm just trying to wake you up today and say, listen, we need to boldly proclaim the gospel to everyone. And it takes boldness. It takes boldness to go up to someone you've never met before and preach the gospel to them. That's not normal. That's not what we do every day. That's not something we do on our own. No, it takes walking in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit and getting the boldness of God to do that. Well, why would I want to do that? Because if they don't hear the gospel, they can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they can't call on His name. And if they don't call on His name, they can't be saved. And if they're not saved, they'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Pray for me that boldness may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. That's why I'm in bonds. That's why I'm in prison, because of the gospel. But I'm an ambassador, and I want to continue to speak in the gospel boldly as I ought to speak. So he gives the soldiers power through prayer. And then I want to tell you about the soldiers' comfort. Look at verse 21. But that ye also may know of my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and our Lord Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. In my younger days, I started preaching. I guess you probably, if you'd have heard it, you wouldn't have called it preaching, but I started trying to preach when I was 17 years old, and early in my ministry, I got to go to a few camps with a man named Robert Parrott. Robert Parrott was a Vietnam veteran. He was a Marine. And Robert Parrott was a worship leader up at Florence Street in Broken Arrow. He was a faithful man of God. And Brother Robert Parrott had a great influence on my life. He went home to be with the Lord just about a year ago. But I remember Brother Parrott telling me about his time in Vietnam, and there was a period of time, for whatever reason, he had to be stationed out in the jungle alone. And he was out there for a long time by himself without a resupply. And he got to the place where he was out of food. He talked about eating his last can of peaches, I think it was, and what that was like to be out there alone and without anything. And I want to tell you something. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in a war by yourself. Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? Can you imagine how lonely that would be? We talked about the guard watching. You can't sleep if nobody else is watching. Every noise that's there could be the enemy. There's going to be no rest. There's going to be no peace. There's going to be no comfort. And I was thinking about that when I When I read this, we're talking about a soldier, and he's given his final challenge to the church, and he says, listen, I want you to pray for me, and I want you to know what's going on with me, and I'm going to send Tychicus to you to tell you what's going on with us, and he's going to come so he can comfort your hearts. And what he's saying is, you are not alone. You see, God designed this the way he did for a reason. He did not save us and have us go out on our own. No, he saved us, and then he says for us to be baptized and to join with the church, and we strive together in the church. And he says, what's going on over here with us? I want you to know about that. I want you to know what's going on so it will comfort your hearts. And I want you to know it's the comfort that knowledge gives. When you know what's going on, it is a comfort to your heart. He says, I want you to know what's going on. It drives you crazy to be worried about somebody and not know what's going on. Right? I mean, we're so connected today. I know what's going on with friends of mine around the world because of Facebook. And I can send a text or make a phone call just about anywhere in the world and know what's going on. But we're not connected. We don't have that comfort. He says, I want you to have comfort. I want you to know what's going on. And friends, we ought to not just be comforted to know what's going on with our brothers and sisters in Christ and the Lord's churches around the world. We ought to want to know. We ought to care to know. And then he says in verse 23, peace be to the brethren. Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the source of all peace. He's the source of all love. And he is the giver of the very faith that we have to put in him. I want you to have peace. It's interesting to me that Paul would say, you're in a war. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. He says, I want you to know you're in the middle of a warfare. I want you to know that you're fighting for spiritual life. I want you to know that you've got to have this armament so you can stand. Otherwise, you will fall. And he says all these things, and he says, peace be to you. It's only God that can give a soldier peace in the middle of the battle. You see, not only have I read about soldiers in the foxholes who were losing their minds, terrified, I have also read about men who were in the face of death, had great peace. And you know where their peace came from? It came because they knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And they could stand in the face of the terror of death. They could stand in the face of that terror with peace in their heart because of God. And I want you to know today, however Satan has strategized against you, whatever fiery darts he's firing at you, you put on the whole armor of God, you pray always with all prayer and supplication, and God will give you peace in your heart. If you don't have peace in your heart today, dear friend, put on the armor of God and pray. The answer's right here. If you don't have peace, this is where peace comes from. Put on the armor of God and pray always. Peace be to the brethren, love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, he says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Grace is the gift of God, where he gives us what we don't deserve. And he says, I want you to have grace, all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. We're going to get ready for an invitation this morning. And while our musicians are coming, I want you to just see this word sincerity. It's a really neat word. This word sincerity is the same word we read about in 1 Corinthians 15. It's the word immortality. This word sincerity means without death, not dying. That's what it means. In other words, we're to love Jesus Christ with an undying love. Now, some of you aren't impressed by that, I can see, but this is awesome to me because I live in a world today where there is nothing but dying love. How many times we see couples, they're so in love and they get married and it's so wonderful, and then they, the first little bump in the road and they're gone. Right? Am I the only one that sees that? Okay. No, he says, I want you to love Christ with a sincere love, an undying love, an immortal love. You see, our love for Christ, if we truly love with a pure heart fervently like we're called to, then we're going to keep on loving him. And no matter what happens in our life, I still love Jesus because he first loved me. And I still love him. And because I love him, his grace is with me. You see it? He loved us. Because he loved us, we love him. And we don't stop loving him ever. And his grace continues with us. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ today? He says, our Lord Jesus Christ. Is he your Lord today? Have you repented and trusted in Christ alone as your Savior? Friend, I want to say it as plain as I can before we sing this song. If you don't have Christ, you do not have life. You have eternal death. If you have Christ, you have life. Well, preacher, how do you have Christ? It's very simple. You repent. It literally means to change your mind. You turn away from your sin and unbelief, and you turn to God in faith. You trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with all your heart. You call on the name of the Lord, and he will give you everlasting life. We are sinners, and we deserve eternal damnation. That's the wages, the penalty of our sin. But God loved us so much, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you'll trust in him today, he'll give you eternal life. If you are saved, if he is your Lord, do you love him in sincerity? Love him with an undying love? If he's convicting your heart this morning while we stand together, we're going to sing.
Page 563.
We're going to sing number 563. If the Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart about anything today, a decision you need to make for Christ, friend, if you've never been saved, repent and trust in him today. He loves you. He gave everything for you so you could be saved. If you are saved, friend, let's get in the fight. It's time to wake up. Put on the armor of God and pray always and do battle for Jesus day by day. Let's sing.